بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر الخالق البارئ المصور الغفار القهار الوهاب الرزاق الفتاح العليم القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكم العدل اللطيف الخبير الحليم العظيم الغفور الشكور العلي الكبير الحفيظ المقيت الحسيب الجليل الكريم الرقيب المجيب الواسع الحكيم الودود المجيد الباعث الشهيد الحق الوكيل القوي المتين الولي الحميد المحصي المبدئ المعيد المحيي المميت الحي القيوم الواجد الماجد الواحد الأحد الصمد القادر المقتدر المقدم المؤخر الأول الآخر الظاهر الباطن الوالي المتعالي البر التواب المنتقم العفو الرؤوف مالك الملك ذو الجلال والإكرام المقسط الجامع الغني المغني المانع الضار النافع النور الهادي البديع الباقي الوارث الرشيد الصبور الذي ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن شاء الله we will start with the discussion of two names that pair up together, Al-Mu'izz and Al-Mudhil. Al-Mu'izz comes from the word Izzah, which means respect and honor. So Al-Mu'izz is the dispenser, that being who grants and gives honor, respect. Al-Mudhil is that being who disgraces, who humiliates, who lowers. So Al-Mu'izz is Izzat, honor. Al-Mudhil, Zillat, disgrace. Ulama, when discussing these two names, have mentioned that Al-Mu'izz is that being الَّذِي أَعَزَّ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ بِعِصْمَتِهِ, is that being who honors his friends with protection from sin. ثُمَّ غَفَرَ لَهُمْ بِرَحْمَتِهِ, perchance they make a mistake, then he forgives them by his mercy. ثُمَّ نَقَلَهُمْ إِلَىٰ دَارِ كَرَامَتِهِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then transfers these selected servants of his to a abode of honor, that is Jannah. ثُمَّ أَكْرَمَهُمْ بِرُؤْيَتِهِ وَمُشَاهَدَتِهِ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors the Jannati with his, that we will be able to see Allah with the countenance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is Izzah. And what is ذِلَّة? الَّذِي أَذَلَّ أَعْدَاءَهُ بِحِرْمَانِ مَعْرِفَتِهِ, that being, how does he disgrace? He disgraces his enemies by depriving them of his recognition. This is disgrace. So disgrace is not having anything of, doesn't mean that we don't have the amenities, the luxuries, the comforts of the world. That is zillat, that's only for a limited time in the eyes of the people of the world. But zillat in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala means that he deprives us from recognizing Allah. So therefore it's imperative, important for us that on a daily level we see the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the doings that are happening and everything around us, whatever occurs, whatever is happening. We recognize Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Anything that happens, immediately that should bring us closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So dhillat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprives a person with his recognition. ثُمَّ نَقَلَهُمْ إِلَىٰ دَارِ عُقُوبَتِهِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will transfer such a person to the abode of disgrace and punishment, which is Jahannam. Allah protect each one of us. وَأَهَانَهُمْ بِرَدِّهِ وَمُفَارَقَتِهِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace a person in the sense that he will be separated from Allah. He'll be rejected from the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. O my Allah, you give izzat to whomsoever you desire. وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. And you give dhilla and disgrace to whomsoever you desire. Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his own son, was deprived of iman, his own son. But Fir'aun, who claimed uluhiyat and being Rabbukumul A'la, he claimed, I am your Rabb, his wife was granted iman, Asiya. So izzat and dhillat is only in the control of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The uncle of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Lahab, he was disgraced. Abu Talib, he also didn't get iman. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave iman to other personalities. So izzat and dhillat is only in the hands, in the controls of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. A sign and a token of honor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the criteria for honor, عند الله, in the courts of Allah, is أتقاكم. That person who has the highest level of taqwa and Allah consciousness, that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I honor people. If you got taqwa, you are honored in the courts of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It was at Fathu Makkah, the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after making tawaf, circumambulating the haram, the Kaaba Sharif, after the tawaf, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he said, Ya ayyuhal nas, O people, inna allaha qad adhaba ankum ubbiyyatal jahiliyyah. O people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has removed, obliterated, has erased, effaced from the earth your traces of ignorance, your source of honor that you had within yourself of ignorance. وَتَعَظُمَهَا بِآبَائِهَا. You had pride, you vied with each other and competed on this basis of your lineage, that this is the blood we come from and this is the tribe, etc. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَالنَّاسُ رَجُلًا. Now people will be categorized into only two. This is the two categories in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Barun taqiyun kareemun ala Allah ta'ala. Person who is noble in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah conscious. Wafajirun shaqiyun hayinun ala Allah ta'ala. And that person who is wretched, disgraced, fajir, fasiq, disobedient in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Wa nasu banu Adam wa khalaqa Allah ta'ala Adam min at-turab. Each one of you are the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu was salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created Adam alayhi salatu was salam from sand. So on the basis of your lineage, you're all made from sand. But honor and respect in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the courts of Allah, is only with our dindari, our piety, our Allah consciousness, our ibadah. On the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, when Sahaba radiallahu anhum had come to Makkah Mukarrama, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Bilal radiallahu anhu to give the adhan. In Medina Munawwara also, he was the muadhin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Bilal radiallahu anhu had given the adhan, then the kuffar started jeering, scoffing, mocking. And they ridiculed, na'udh billah, Bilal radiallahu anhu, by saying that didn't Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam find anyone more honorable in his ranks? He just found one Abyssinian slave and gave him this position to call out the adhan, he could have found someone else. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had explained to Sahaba radiallahu anhum that this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors a person. That despite who he is and where he's coming from, all of that sidelined, but because he enjoys a very close position in the courts of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he will be given this honor, this reverence of the muadhin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bilal radiallahu anhu. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bilal radiallahu anhu, he could not take and tolerate being in Medina Munawwara, walking the same streets, gullies of Medina Munawwara, but not being able to behold that personality who walked its streets. So he left and went to Sham. On one of his visits when he comes to Medina Munawwara, it was on the insistence of certain Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they told him, "Oh Bilal, oh Bilal, please remind us of the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you call out the adhan." So Bilal radiallahu anhu goes to the masjid, calls out the adhan, and he reduces every of the people that were present in the masjid to tears. So who was it? Bilal radiallahu anhu. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Sayyiduna Bilal." Bilalun Sayyiduna. Bilal, he's our leader, he's our master. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I heard the footsteps of Bilal radiallahu anhu ahead of me in Jannah." Does not mean that he is more honorable in the eyes of Allah. When an important person is going to a destination, then the convoy is ahead. He sends some people ahead, assess the place, clear the area, we are coming. So that is the haythiyat and the position of Bilal radiallahu anhu. In the sense, he will be ahead of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah as a khadim of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "I heard his footsteps ahead of me in Jannah." I heard his footsteps, which means he's already a Jannati. So this is the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors a person. Umar radiallahu anhu, when in his era the Islamic borders were expanding, they came to Sham and beyond Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and Al-Quds. When he comes right to Masjid Al-Aqsa, then Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, he was leading the army going to Al-Quds to conquer. Then the leader of Al-Quds comes to the, anyone's been to Masjid Al-Aqsa will understand, the old city, climbs the walls and he says, "Listen, hat in hand, I drop the sword, I give you the keys, no fighting. One condition, your leader himself must come here." So he says, "What do you mean?" "We must call, summon Umar radiallahu anhu from Medina Munawwara." He said, "No, no, call him." So anyway, they call him. So Umar radiallahu anhu was hesitant, mashwara took place, should I go, shouldn't I go? Eventually, on the insistence of certain Sahaba radiallahu anhu, mashwara was made that he should go. So Umar radiallahu anhu leaves Medina Munawwara. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, initially he was hesitant, that why should I leave the capital? And there can be some impediments ahead, some dangers, worries, fears, but he leaves. When Umar radiallahu anhu now is traveling and coming on this journey, coming close to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, they come across a river. They need to cross that river to get to Al-Quds. Umar radiallahu anhu takes his shoes, holds it underneath his arms, rolls up his lower garment, and he's wading himself through the water. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah says, "Oh Umar, don't do that. You go and the animal will carry you across. How can you hold your shoes underneath your arm? When the people are watching the leader coming, you're reducing yourself. Don't do that." Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard this, that you are telling me how they will assess me by what they see of me, na'udhu billah, he says, "Uffo." He says, "Astaghfirullah. Had it only been someone else, Abu Ubaidah, who echoed the sentiments, how can you say that? Aminu hadhihi al-ummah." But anyway, Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Inna kunna adhalla qawmin fa'a'azzana Allahu bil Islam." We were the most downtrodden, disgraced of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated, honored us via Islam. By means of Islam, Allah honored us. فَمَهْمَا نَطْلُبُ الْعِزَّةَ بِغَيْرِ مَا أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. If we ever as an ummah will seek honor in any way besides that which Allah honored us with initially, meaning if we're going to seek izzat in anything besides Islam, wallahi Allah will disgrace us in that same thing we are acquiring. Our izzat is only in Islam, the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the deen, in the love of Allah, the throb of, and that love, the deep rooted love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is where our izzat lies. If we're going to seek it anywhere else, if you think your izzat is in anything else, wallahi, Allah will disgrace you in that which you think is your izzat. Yes, if you use all of the facilities, the comforts and the luxuries of the world, but you don't think it's a source of honor, then there's no problem in it. Because it came, it's from the side of Allah. But we understand that our izzat is only in the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is where our izzat lies. That we don't feel shy in wearing 3/4 pants. We don't feel shy in wearing the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in performing salah in public, no matter where we are. We are confident, we happy to be Muslim. Then in this manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep us with izzat and with honor. If we think our izzat is in wealth, then Allah is disgracing people with that same wealth. Those people who are very wealthy, and the son is on drugs, they can't control it, how much of money they are spending in the rehab, and how much they are trying to spend just to, you know, to maintain a family status. They can't. You can do what you want. Everyone in society knows that your son is an alcoholic. He's in drugs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. That which you thought was your izzat for your child, when he qualified matric, then you gave him that Golf R. Then few months after that, that same Golf R became his coffin. He passed away in that same thing. You thought izzat now. Imagine everyone will see. I was able to afford this for my lighty. But that same thing became a disgrace for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. No problem. You want to give him something. We need to sometimes realize, you know, and curb how we are giving things to our children. We have to be careful. Don't give them tools that will lead to their own destruction if they are not mature enough. We have to be able to assess the situation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept our izzat in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where our izzat is, in the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There is one alim who explains one incident, and he says that one person in London, if you're in London, then they'll ask you whether it's London proper or which part of London. So anyway, he was from London. So he went, there was an interview, he goes for the interview, mashallah, nice big dhari, he's got his kurta, his beard, and he goes for the interview. He goes for the interview, then the person says, we're interested, but you're just watching, you know, the way your attire, how you're dressed, not too comfortable. That's all they told him. So he went back. And he went for a few more interviews, not come in right. After that, he decided, you know, these people were interested in me. Let me just go and shave off that beard. Maybe I'll get my job. So he shaved the beard. Now he goes back for the interview. He says, you know, I came a few days ago. Y'all interviewed me. You were interested. So the person looks at him, the manager or the person who did the interview. He says, when did I take your interview? He says, no, a few days ago. He says, so what happened? So he says, no, you told me you worried about my attire. So I came now, you know, trim and proper. I took out the beard. My attire is according to the, you know, the working area. So he looks at him. He says, astaghfirullah. This person is not a non-Muslim. So he tells him, he says, what are you? He says, I'm a Muslim. He says, why you had a beard? He says, it was necessary. He says, why you took it out? He says, for the job. He says, if you can't be trustworthy to your deen, how are you going to be trustworthy to your work? I can't employ you. If you can't be trustworthy to your own religion, how do I trust you in my factory? So anyway, he opened the door, he takes him to the back, and he says, come here, sir, come inside. He says, look how many Muslims are here working in this factory, all Muslims with beards, and they all got kurtas, they still working. So that wasn't the test. The test was to see how trustworthy you are to your own religion. Then I'll know how true you are to the word to your word of Allah, you'll be true to the word of this employment, this area. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, that ability, keep us with izzat, respect, inshaAllah.